Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, September 20, 2021. The daughter of a detained former governor of Northern Bahr al-Ghazal state says her father needs urgent medical attention.
For the time he was removed, he is better, though he is constantly vomiting and his back is not stopping from hurting.
And some families in Jonglei State are living in water.
There are some areas that have been affected, like Langwa, Taimashwar, and many people have been displaced.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The daughter of the former governor of Northern Bahr al-Ghazal state, Kwel Aguer Kwel, who is being detained at the Juba Central Prison, is calling on authorities in Juba to release her father so that she can take him for proper medical treatment outside the country. Agul Kwel Aguer says her father's condition is not good. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Former Governor Kwel Aguer Kwel was arrested and detained after a group he belongs to, the People's Coalition for Civil Action, called for nationwide protests and the resignation of President Salva Kiir and his cabinet. Agul Kwel Aguer says her father was taken to Promise Hospital on Saturday and has been receiving treatment at the facility, but she has seen little change in his condition.
For the time he was removed, he is better, though he is constantly vomiting and his back is not stopping from hurting. His diabetes is not going down, so nothing is really improved.
Aguer says her father was diagnosed with a liver problem, an infection, high blood pressure and malaria. She says family members have tried to encourage Kwel to walk, but he complains of too much pain.
When we are helping him move, he complains of his left leg, which hurts his back. His temperature was constantly 40, and if it drops, it will drop to 39 and rise back to 40. His eyesight, his eyes have turned reddish, and he complains that we do have to do massage on his neck so that he could feel relieved a bit and sleep. He was put on oxygen because he was lacking enough breath, and after like some time, they do remove it.
Aguer says a few months prior to his arrest in August, her father had gone for a general checkup in Khartoum where doctors found his backbone was disconnected. She says doctors strongly advised her father to return within 3 months for an operation. Otherwise, they said he would become paralyzed. Aguer says her father has already spent 2 months in prison, something that is worrying her.
This is not getting proper treatment where he is right now. Because the proper thing that is supposed to be done is the operation right now. And we're here where he is, they can't do the operation. And that's what is needed. I say so because where he's supposed to get his operation from is Khartoum, from his doctor. Each and every person has his or her own doctor where they believe this person will get fine in this place, right? So this is what we are in. Our dad will get fine when he goes for his operation in Khartoum.
Aguer says her father's detention is not fair at all, considering his age 65. He should have been taken to court immediately so that they understand why he was arrested. But she says no court hearing has been held. She says her father's lawyer is working on his case, but he remains behind bars. Aguer says all she wants is to take her father in for proper medical treatment.
Let them call on the court so all this can come to an end. And we have our dad back home. Take him for proper treatment because nobody would wish seeing the dad passing through such situation. And yet we can treat him for him to get back into his foot.
General Henry Kwanyagwar, Director General for South Sudan National Prison Service, confirms that Kwel was taken for medication to the hospital on Saturday, but says he cannot comment further about Aguer because he is not imprisoned.
Let them call on the court so all this can come to an end. and we have our dad back home, take him for proper treatment, because nobody would wish seeing the dad passing through such situation, and yet we can treat him for him to get back into his foot.
Article 64 of South Sudan's Code of Criminal Procedure 2008 states that a person arrested by the police as part of an investigation may be held in detention for a period not exceeding 24 hours for the purpose of that investigation. Kwela Gwer has so far spent 50 days in the prison. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Aid agencies in Jonglei State say more than 34,000 people have been displaced by recent floodings across the state capital, Bor. The coordinator of the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Bor County says displaced families need help. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Ngong Alier, the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission coordinator for Bor County, says more than 34,000 people have been displaced by the new wave of flooding in Bor town. Alier says most of the displaced are camping in open or in various streets.
There are some areas which have been affected, like Langwa, I'm sure, and many people have been displaced. There are very many areas affected. I can count them one by one. I'm sure. Majung Kelai, Panape, Amoyok, Malwalchat, Fatimben, Riyak, Ipanyak, Panliat, Ibacha, I Salam, Kwansai, Indir, Nangbachi, Mao, Arak, Lingwit, and Nigel. Bloten is also affected in one part there. The urgent need now, this school has been displaced in different areas, so is the first one is a location. It needs to be allocated in different areas. And then number two, shelters, and so many things.
Asar Mohammed is with the International Organization for Migration in Jonglei State. Mohammed says the IOM is aware of the latest flooding and has provided two excavators to help repair the dike in Bor.
Our teams have been here for the last 15 days. We have been working and looking around. Our assessment tells us that the situation is not as bad as 2020, but this time around, there are few areas which needs to be plugged, and with the support of community and the government, we will be able to overcome that. We have deployed two excavators to move the earth to make sure that there is a mechanical support in terms of building the dikes. At the same time, we have given sandbags and tools to the community who are involved in repairing these dikes. So that's what we are doing at this point.
Some Bor residents and activists blame this second wave of flooding on state officials reluctant to repair a dike on the River Nile. Bor resident John Mayol says, knowing that flooding was imminent, Jonglei state officials should have quickly mobilized resources and repair the dike, which was built to control water from the Nile River so that it would not overflow in Bor town.
It is very unfortunate that the water has also overrun the areas of Imashua, Tarawar, Panapet, and to the north is that part of Chengdir, Malau. And almost reaching a corner right now. Something should be prevented before it overran the people living in the area. Something should have been done in the dry season, because the existing dike was not in a good shape. That means it was supposed to be recompacted and another soil added on it. But no one did it. No one called a meeting to see if this disaster can be prevented. So there was no preparedness. And the equipment are now available. But now there is a functional government with all instructions, but they never contributed to preventing the flood.
Residents and activists accuse top state officials of spending most of their time in Juba hotels rather than at their duty stations solving problems facing communities. Jonglei State Deputy Governor Antipas Nyok says state government officials are working with its partners, including the Netherlands, to try to mitigate the flooding.
We are extremely happy this morning to receive His Excellency the Ambassador of the Kingdom of Netherlands, who has visited Bor town this morning. This is the first time of his kind to visit Bor town. Behind us here is the entire cabinet of the Jonglei State. the other stakeholders from the government, also members of international organizations operating here in Poor Town. We discuss a couple of issues with the ambassador, especially things to do with the flood management issues and programs which are also ongoing as part of the support of the government of Netherlands to the people of this town and the state of Jongole at large.
Jalte van Weerend, ambassador of the Netherlands in South Sudan, visited the flood-affected area today. Speaking to reporters afterward, Weerend said Dutch authorities will work with Jonglé authorities to address the flooding.
We've seen and we discussed the problem, the emergency problems that people are facing with the overflow of water from the river and the possible solutions to that. And we are very happy that we could give them an update on where we are in our plans to start a cooperation program with the people of Boer to improve the water management in this area.
According to the United Nations, more than 1 million people were affected by floods in South Sudan from July 2020 to the end of January 2021. State officials say flood-affected people need food, water, emergency shelter, and protection services. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Boer.
New York will see one of its first large gatherings since the coronavirus pandemic, when more than 100 world leaders are expected to return to the United Nations for their annual meetings. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashar reports.
Some 125 leaders are expected in New York, where officials will take on pressing issues. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Our world is edging towards a new abnormal, more chaotic, more insecure, more dangerous for everyone. We are moving in the wrong direction, and we are at a pivotal moment.
The week will begin with talks on climate action. Guterres and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will meet with a few dozen other leaders. Their goal is to encourage more ambitious commitments to slow global warming and fund adaptation and mitigation efforts ahead of a key climate conference 6 weeks from now in Scotland. Again, UN Chief Antonio Guterres.
We really are out of time. We must act now to prevent further irreversible damage.
Halting the COVID-19 pandemic through global vaccination is the other urgent priority. The World Health Organization has set mid-2022 as its target for 70% of the world's population to be vaccinated. But poorer countries are not on track to reach this. On Wednesday, U.S. President Joe Biden will convene a virtual meeting on ways to curb the spread of the virus. Linda Thomas-Greenfield is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations.
President Biden is committed to leading in concert with our allies and partners across the globe to stop the COVID-19 pandemic. We are building a coalition of governments, businesses, international institutions, and civil society to expand vaccine production, accelerate access to vaccines and life-saving treatment, and strengthen health systems around the globe.
But overshadowing these twin global crises is the latest geopolitical one, Afghanistan. Richard Gowan is the UN Director for International Crisis Group.
Afghanistan represents an enormous humanitarian challenge for the United Nations. And it's going to be UN agencies who are responsible for keeping Afghans alive during a period of hunger and political chaos.
G20 ministers meet Wednesday to discuss developments in Afghanistan. World leaders are also expected to address the issue during one-on-one talks. The Taliban's takeover is likely to figure prominently in Western leaders' speeches during the general debate, especially on the need to protect progress made on the rights of women and girls. Richard Gowan.
There's not very much the General Assembly can do to force the Taliban to protect those rights.
Starting Tuesday, leaders will address the General Assembly. One of the most anticipated statements will be from President Biden, who will address the General Assembly for the first time. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
President Biden will speak to our top priorities, ending the COVID-19 pandemic, combating climate crisis, and defending human rights, democracy, and the international rules-based order. All three are challenges that stretch across borders. They involve every single country on Earth.
With only a week to cover many pressing issues, leaders will have little time to enjoy New York City, which has begun to reopen its museums, restaurants, and Broadway theaters. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, how is Africa doing during the COVID-19 pandemic? That story is coming up right after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how does your family take care of an elderly relative?
Once in a while, we sit down with him, speak with him, ask him how he's doing so he doesn't feel lonely. Then we also tell him about what is going on in the world so that he doesn't feel left out.
We make sure we provide the basic needs like food, water, make her happy, not to feel rejected. Because when they are growing and you start to abandon them, they see that they are not needed. And showing them love even brings them healing.
Helping them with the domestic chores, for example, preparing meals for them. Helping them with the clothes, cleaning up the house.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. The World Health Organization is warning that COVID-19 vaccine export bans by wealthy countries will prolong the pandemic in Africa, preventing recovery from the disease in the rest of the world. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva. Still on health matters, Malawi plans a nationwide rollout of the new typhoid vaccine after a 2-year study, the first in Africa, found it safe and effective in children as young as 9 months. Lamek Masena reports from Blantyre.
Typhoid is a treatable bacterial infection that has become a serious threat in many and low-mid-income countries. In Malawi, the study on efficacy of the typhoid conjugate vaccine, or TCV, involved about 20,000 children aged between 9 months and 15 years from 3 townships in the commercial capital, Blantyre. The University of Maryland School of Medicine's Center for Vaccine Development and Global Health, Blantyre Malaria Project, and Malawi Liverpool Wellcome Trust conducted the study. Professor Marita Gordon is a principal investigator for this study at the Malawi Liverpool Wellcome Trust. She says the results released this week show an efficacy rate of more than 80% in protecting children against the disease.
The previous vaccines were only about 50% effective, and they were never even tested very well in the very youngest children. They were never even usable in the youngest children. So the fact that these new conjugate vaccines work in preschool children right down to 9 months is a really big deal and really important to be able to tackle typhoid across the board in all the children who suffer with it.
Gordon also said the vaccine efficacy data first from Africa provides hope that sub-Saharan Africa can be rid of the Matai drug-resistant strain of typhoid that arrived from Asia about a decade ago.
In Malawi, incidence is something of the order of 400 or 500 cases per 100,000 per year. Now, anything over 200 is considered high incidence. So we're a very high incidence country. There have been studies in Burkina Faso, in Ghana, in Kenya. We know that many other African countries have an equivalent burden of disease.
Dr. Queen Duwe is the chief of health services in Malawi's health ministry.
The exciting news is the fact that we had applied to Gavi that supports us on the vaccination front. To add this to the list of vaccines we are administering in the country, and Gavi approved our application, and we're looking at introducing this typhoid vaccine and rolling it out next year.
However, some fear the new typhoid vaccine would face hesitancy and resistance from people, as was the case with the COVID-19 vaccines, and which led to incineration of about 20,000 expired doses in May. But Duwe says this won't happen with the typhoid vaccine because COVID-19 was a new disease.
We've had typhoid for decades and decades, so people know what typhoid is. Nobody will wake up one morning to say, oh no, typhoid was manufactured in a laboratory. And so chances that you'd end up with a lot of misinformation are a bit on the lower side compared with a new disease that swept across the globe, killing so many people, brought a lot of fear, and allowed for a lot of false theories.
Still, Duwe said the Malawi government plans to launch a massive sensitization campaign to teach people about the new typhoid vaccine to prevent occurrence of the myths and misinformation that engulfed the COVID-19 vaccine. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
As the world marks the International Day of Deaf People, a young South Sudanese female model with a hearing disability has qualified to represent her country in the upcoming Miss and Mr. Deaf Africa 2021 beauty contest in Tanzania to be held in September. Josephine Kiden says she has always wanted to prove to the world that deaf people are talented. For VOA News, David Monodanga has more from Juba.
24-year-old Josephine Kiden was born in Juba with hearing defects. She says while growing up, children in school and in her neighborhood would mock her, name-calling her Atarasa, an Arabic word for a deaf person, a word she detests bitterly. Kiden says she dreamed of becoming a top model since she was about 4 years old, but society at large and even a few family members will not give her the chance to prove herself because of her disability. Still, Kiden did not give up. Speaking through her interpreter Grace Amviko, Kiden says she persisted with her challenges until one day a modeling event at Nyakron Cultural Center gave her the chance to enter the world of modeling. She became number 5 and surprised everyone, including the show's judges, who, she says, initially undermined her.
The judges, during the time of modeling, they saw her before they thought that deaf people cannot do anything, they cannot model. They cannot contest for that. Then she's like, I have my skills, I can do everything. So there is one interpreter called James, came and helped and then interpreted for her. And then he had to explain about those people, even deaf people, they also have their own culture. They also know, they can also do what you can do, the hearing person. What you can do, she can also do it.
The judges initially terminated her, but she wrote a note to one of the judges, who later convinced the rest of the panel to accept her after reading aloud what she wrote in her note. She says that moment was the beginning of success in her modeling career. Kiden will become the first model to represent South Sudan on the international scene when she walks the runway in Dodoma, Tanzania, in the Mr. and Miss Deaf Africa 2021 beauty contest this coming weekend.
I believe I'm going to come with a crown back home here. I will come with a crown. It will be a representation for South Sudan. I'll bring it like a gift in South Sudan. Actually, I'm even so grateful because when I see my pic on Facebook, people, they have spread it everywhere and they are just talking good things about me. I'm really so happy and they are making me more confident. They are giving me more confidence how I'm going to win the crown.
Kiden advises people with disabilities never to give up on their dreams and skills simply because they are taunted as children or discouraged by society. Instead, Kiden says they should be empowered by such criticisms
Even though they abuse you, what, don't follow their words. For you, just think about your future, how you can develop yourself. At the same time, the able people, when you meet a deaf person on the way and then maybe gets a problem, please try to help. Stop oppressing them. We as the community, all of us, we should encourage one another. We should stop abusing each other. They should stop abusing more, especially disabled people, because they think they are stupid. They don't understand, but they also understand, like the able people.
Kiden says without the encouragement of some family members and her interpreter, she would have given up on modeling. She vows to make South Sudan proud by going to Tanzania to win the beauty contest and also prove to people that those with disabilities have talent. Kiden's friend and interpreter, Grace Anviko, says people with disabilities need encouragement and extra care to make them feel a part of society and not discriminated against.
When she said, she comes to me, please, big sis, this and this. She has really made me so disappointed. What can I do? So I end up, you know, at least guide her and make her feel that she's not discriminated. She's not useless. When she hears, like, because she read lips, when she hears, like, Atarese and all that, she comes when she's so sad and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, comforting her, telling her, don't worry about that. Your God created you in his own image.
Anviko says Josephine Kiden's success story should be used to demonstrate that society should give disabled people more opportunities, including jobs. The International Week of Deaf People is celebrated annually during the last week of September. This year's theme is celebrating thriving deaf communities. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Let us know what you think about issues in our news. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We reserve the rights to read your brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with the song Shikilmanga by General Paulino. We've been listening to General Paulino and the song Shikilmanga. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Farida min salam to an al biga faristu. Farida min salam to an al biga maznunu. Garaleyo min safahat ana mawizu.